Welcome to Let's Get Social with me, Philip Twyford, the Curly Marketer, Social Media Management and Strategy.
And me, Emma Duffy of Fit Social Media, your social media personal trainer.
So if you are confused about social media,
or not sure what channels to use, well, we've got you covered, so
let's get social.
So, Philip, what's new these days?
Well, 5 weeks ago, we got a new puppy. I was begged by my wife and the kids to get a new puppy. I resisted because we had a dog already, but I said, OK, let's do this. And it's like having a new baby in the house. I haven't slept. No. None of my shoes are actually fit for wear anymore because they've been chewed to pieces. So it has been a very interesting process. But I believe you have a cat, Emer.
I do. His name is George. And he's a bit like, I don't know, a big ball of fluff. He does nothing. He sleeps all day.
That's what cats do.
He eats when it suits him. And I wish my children were like that.
If only. And you know, we're here to, I suppose, dispel the myth that dog people and cat people don't get on. But we're great friends, aren't we, Emer?
Yeah, the check is in the post.
Fantastic, I look forward to it. But listen, I'm looking at your face, Emer. It's full of anticipation for this episode's social media joke. So would you like me to carry on?
You're not going to go take the dog for a walk instead, no?
No, this joke has to be told.
Oh, okay, go on, go.
So why did the marketing couple decide not to get married?
Was because one had a dog and one had a cat?
Possibly, but the real reason was they weren't on the same landing page.
I think you should go take the dog for a walk.
I'm about to do that after this show. So just if you missed the last few shows, this obviously is show 4 of Let's Get Social. In our first show, we talked about should your business be on social media? And I suppose myself and Emma were resoundingly saying that yes, we should be on social. Some of the key, I suppose, reasons Emer's going to explain, which was part of our episode 2, was the pros and negatives of social media.
Yeah, in other words, going forward from the first show where we covered, you know, as you say, should you be on it, then it's figuring out which channels work for you. But you should really figure out what the pros and cons of each one were.
Yeah.
And then you'll decide, right, okay, Facebook, I can work with this, and Instagram would work for me as well, where Twitter wouldn't and LinkedIn wouldn't. Or it could be the other way around. You might say Facebook and LinkedIn, or LinkedIn and Twitter.
Yeah.
Or Instagram and Twitter. So it's really trying to figure out, looking at both sides of the coin before you jump in.
Yeah, and I think one of the residing kind of pieces of feedback that we got from people that listened to the show kind of felt that, yes, while it is easy to get onto social media, it's kind of free to kind of get started.
Yeah.
One of the negatives, which is becoming more recurrent, is that it's becoming more paid for play.
Yes.
That you have to pay, etc. Organic reach is down.
But there's no point in paying for ads unless you have all the basics, right?
Exactly. And that leads on nicely to show 3, where we went through optimization for your Facebook. And just recap, Emer, on optimization.
That's a big word, and don't ask me to spell it. But it basically means you want your Facebook page or your Instagram to look good. So, sorry, Philip, what are you doing?
Oh, I'm just trying to get ready and look really, really hot and well on the radio.
I thought you wanted to look good on Facebook.
That's very, very true. And I suppose we are going to talk about that today, aren't we? We're going to talk about how to craft a really nice looking post.
Yeah, and then we'll have your image up there.
Looking forward to it, and I'd be happy to sign autographs if people are interested.
I think you need to get in with some of these, like, you know, these hair product companies, you know, and you could make an absolute killing.
Absolutely. I'm certainly hoping that I'll get some sponsorship in the old hair product line with the amount I go through every month. But hey, let's...
You must be Boots' favourite customer, are you?
I need to get my own loyalty card. My wife gets all the points.
Oh, she's smart. She's very smart.
So I suppose, Emer, let me ask you a question.
Okay.
You know, when do you think is the best time to post on your Facebook page?
Well, I always say is... go check your insights. Now, do you know where your insights are?
Well, certainly if you look on your Facebook page, you can find the insights tab in the top.
Yes.
And in there is a wealth of information that a lot of people don't actually even look at, from how your page is performing, how your posts are performing. Look at, say, other competitor pages that are like pages to watch. And it's a really robust analytics, really, for how your Facebook page is performing.
Yeah. And the great thing about it is you can add pages. So when you go all the way down to the bottom of it's a general section, go all the way, and you add in the pages that you feel are appropriate to your business. So, mm-hmm. you know, if you're a hairdresser, you would have the hairdressers near you
yeah.
watching to see what they're posting and what comments they're getting, how many shares they're getting, you know, and then you're saying, right, what kind of caption have they got? Is it video that they've posted?
Yeah.
Is it a really nice quote maybe, you know, Monday motivation, you know,
yeah.
and get people motivated to come down and see your latest offer, so to speak. That's something you should really consider doing because I bet they're doing it to you.
Absolutely. You know, I think insights are something that you really have to kind of, I suppose, drill down into to get a real understanding as to how your page is performing and the post that people are actually liking, you know, what's resonating with them, you know, particularly is it kind of more image posts or video posts? The time that you're posting at, is that actually irrelevant? Because there is a wonderful area within Insights where it will tell you when your fans are online.
Yes.
And I think to try and craft your posts.
I call it the mountain. Do you ever look
yeah, at it? Yeah, actually, you're right. It does look like a mountain, doesn't it?
Yeah. And from there, you can say, right, I don't post at 7 in the morning because there's nobody there.
Yeah.
Where 9 o'clock in the morning might be better. 3 o'clock in the afternoon could be a good time as well. You just don't know. I used to be 9 o'clock in the evening and it's now headed back to 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah.
You know? Probably because all my ones are all going to bed early or something, you know?
Exactly. So, exactly.
You know? So anyway, we had, as I say, talked about Facebook optimization and that is making your Facebook page itself look good. And then, as I say, your posts have to be looking well as well. So that goes for who is your audience, as we were saying. And from there, you've got to say to yourself, when you're posting, what is your goal? And I always say you want to edutain them. And edutain means educate and entertain. So that means for you, you want to engage them. That means getting them to like it, hopefully, getting them to share it, or even if you have something special happening and that post has a link on to maybe an event, say, for example, you want them to click through and buy a ticket.
Yeah. And I think exactly as you said there, you know, like I'm a big believer in the whole area of strategy. You know, that's one of my mantras is strategy. And I think when you're trying to create that sort of perfect post, even though there's no such thing as the perfect post because something that might work last week or last month may not work the next time.
Yeah.
But you do need to have a real understanding as to who your audience is. You know, what are their needs, their wants? You know, what is it about your business that will bring them to your Facebook page and want to engage with what you're doing? For example, if you are an accountancy practice and people are looking to you for accountancy advice or maybe tax advice and you're talking about, you know, swimming pools or, you know, the best things for summer holidays, it's totally irrelevant.
Yep.
You know, people are going to be, well, what's this got to do with accountancy? So, you know, do out those customer personas so that you are very clear as to what your audience is looking for from you. And then that will form the basis of the type of post that you can't, that you craft.
Yeah. And that's where you have to think to yourself, what am I going to write?
Yeah, absolutely. And I always kind of feel that from an internal point of view from a company, you know, start brainstorming content. You know, it's to try and kind of go in today and to suddenly look at your computer and just write a post off bat is very, very difficult.
Yeah.
You know, if you have a team of customer service people, you know, engage with them to find out, well, what's the kind of the issues your customers are coming back to us with? You know, is it product queries? Is there trends happening in your industry that are like Brexit is a huge topic at the moment for many companies and business. Are you a service provider that could provide solutions for mm-hmm. companies who are afraid of Brexit? And you start to then build up a sort of a library of potential post topics. It's the same type of, I suppose, scenario that you would go through if you were writing a blog post.
Yeah. So like, for example, say you are a cafe and you're trying to get more people footfall through the door,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
As I always say, don't rely on social media as the the only way to get to talk to your customer. You're going to have your offline presence as well. I would suggest, if you want to get ideas for what to write, have a suggestion box, you know?
Yeah.
The good old suggestion box always works, I think.
And, yeah, absolutely.
You could be surprised when people are going, we would love to know more about how you make your coffees.
Yeah, where do you source it from? Yeah, no, I think anything like that is always critical. Like the content you write, it won't be relevant or engaging to your audience if it doesn't mean anything to them.
Yeah. So as you say, what are their pain points?
Exactly.
What are they interested in? Getting good feedback in a sense of why they come to you.
Yeah.
And how you can improve.
Yeah.
A lot of the big brands do that.
Yeah.
You know, some of the big supermarkets are always looking for, you know, people to give them, you know, information on why they, you know, come and they buy from them. And,
exactly.
And then they would post. So you'd probably see quite a few, you know, coming up to like Christmas specials, and they're trying to get people to come to their store rather than their competitor.
Yeah.
Because they find out what their customer wants, they're going to post it on their Facebook and they're going to then go, that's what I'm looking for. I'm going to go there.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's perfect. I think obviously, you know, where do you write your post? Well, obviously go into your Facebook business page and click on write something. Well, that's what it says on the mobile, or write a post on the desktop laptop. Now, obviously there is the generic white space, but obviously underneath that you have a host of kind of coloured backgrounds and captions, etc. So it's very much depending on your company or your brand, whether you like to jazz it up, as they say.
Oh, I like to jazz it up.
I know you do, Emer.
But it depends on what you are posting. But if it's a serious issue, then I always say stick with the white background.
Yeah, I would agree. And we were only talking about this before we came on air. Like, you know, some kind of topics that we kind of tend to always say maybe stay clear of would be anything to do with maybe religion or politics, etc., because they can be quite divisive. Unless your business has a very specific relevance in that area, we kind of tend to say probably best to steer clear of those highly divisive topics, because it can bring both a lot of positive press but also a lot of negative press. So they are two topics we always say just be very mindful of, you know.
Yeah, I always say just play it a little safe, just in case.
I suppose a next kind of area really to look at is the whole area of engagement. You know, engagement on your post.
I thought you were married.
I am, but you know, I'm talking about the social media engagement, which is what we want.
That's few. Because I was worried about, because you were talking about getting married earlier, you know, and I'm talking about getting engaged. It's like, you know. So, I know myself, like, you know, people rush into these things. And, you know, I always say to take a step back. And that's something I always say to people is, if you're going to write a post, you can stick it in draft.
Yeah.
Walk away, have a coffee, come back. And then if you're not too sure whether it looks well, don't post it.
Yeah, no, I'd agree. I think, you know, and we would use a tool like Grammarly, you know, because when you're crafting a post that you hope will be engaging, and like, as we were saying, you know, a couple of post ideas that create real engagement is, say, asking a question or creating a poll and, you know, or getting an opinion on something. For example, if maybe you're doing a teaser product launch and you have a very interested community, you could do maybe a teaser post to say, do you like our new packaging, or here's a potential new logo? I've seen that done very well.
Oh yeah.
And you get people engaged on it, but what will really kind of make your post look bad is obviously bad grammar, you know.
Listen, it's like, that's a bear bug with me. Yeah. It's like grammar, punctuation, spelling, those three.
Yeah. And so yeah, definitely Grammarly is a great, and it's free as well.
Yeah, the only thing is sometimes it gets annoying because you see the little green thing and you're trying to write and you have to move back away from it with the cursor and go back again, you know, because it kind of makes you feel really bad because you see all these lines coming up and going, God, I'm a bad speller.
But no, listen, there's lots of pitfalls, but we would always say, and this is an old copywriting technique, if you can, get someone to cold read it for you and then try and read it from right to left, because when you read from left to right, your brain will automatically fill in words.
Ah, so Philip, we were talking earlier about Facebook posts and how to make the best of them, how to look good on them.
Absolutely.
So, and what would you like to continue with?
Well, I think the next thing, obviously, like everything is, you want to set some goals. What is the goal for the post? And a lot of people kind of don't do this. You know, they don't kind of, I suppose, set themselves, well, what do they want to try and achieve with the particular post that they're going to put out?
A lot of people might think you're talking about football when you're talking about goals.
No. Sorry, let me reframe. Your objective.
Okay.
What's your objectives for the post?
Yeah. What are you trying to do?
Yeah, what are you trying to do? Like, is it a case of that you want to highlight maybe a particular product so there's more of a sales-driven element? Mm-hmm. Is it maybe thought leadership? You know, are you trying to put your brand or service out as being an expert in a particular topic?
Okay.
Is it to try and create some good feel community? You know, and we would see a lot of that on Facebook, say, with the really highly motivational kind of sort of pieces, you know, where it's trying to rally the community around and we're all kind of one group going together.
Yeah. So, for example, you might actually have your own private Facebook group and you want to encourage more people to join it.
Yeah.
So your post could be, you know, if you want to continue this, you know, further, come join us.
Yeah.
And engage in the group. And we'd love to have you.
Yeah, exactly.
And so, who doesn't want to be loved and wanted?
Well, yeah, I'm still looking for it.
Oh, really? He's back on about engagement.
Yeah. Love the old engagement.
You do. But again, as I say, you know, what do you write? As you say, depends on your goal. What do you want your post to encourage people to do?
Yeah.
And this is what a lot of people kind of get confused about, you know?
Yeah, because I think, you know, a lot of people or business, they don't make it specific as to, well, what is it that you want the reader to do? You know, what's the action point?
So do you want them to comment?
Yeah. Should I be tagging a friend? Do you want me to engage back? Do you want to give me my thoughts? Would you like me to share it? Or do you just want me to take away a positive feeling about the business? You know, what exactly is it?
Mm-hmm.
So that's very important. Talk to us, Emer, about language and the importance of that.
Well, mind your language would be number one. No, I'm really joking. So look at the phrases you use, as there's nothing more annoying, and I see this all the time, than clicking on something and finding that it's not what you thought it would be. So there's a term for that, and I don't know if you've ever heard of it. It's called clickbait.
Yes.
So, and that's a no-no.
It's a social media no-no. That's one of the cardinal rules or sins you could commit.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because it is very misleading, and it will damage your brand, because then people get to mistrust you, and that's that.
And that's a critical thing, especially on social media, that if you lose that trust fairly quickly, it's very hard to get it back.
Yeah. You know, it's, you know, they always say it's you only get to make a good first impression once.
Yeah.
So, and I always say, let's just, when you're writing it, think of it how you would speak to somebody. So write the post as if you're talking to you or to me.
Yeah. And that comes back to the whole area of your tone of voice and stuff, you know. If you're a professional business and your audience is kind of would be a professional type audience, use that type of language.
Yeah.
But if you're more, say, I suppose, easygoing type audience, or, you know, then kind of use the language that your audience would actually appreciate or understand.
So what's your audience?
Well, my audience has always been very businessy, but they like it in a sort of a light-hearted, kind of informal way. I always found, you know, not to take myself too seriously.
No, we could never take you too seriously.
It's very true, and I suppose hopefully the listeners will take me somewhat seriously. I suppose following on from that, a critical thing is, and it's not to sound cliche, like we hate using sort of kind of cliche or marketing verbiage or terminology, but the pain point, you know, kind of ultimately, is there something within your content that could solve a problem for your audience or alleviate a fear? Whatever that may be. Like, for example, myself and Emer, we would know a number of, say, hairdressers. That
you probably know more than me.
Well, it's very true, actually. It is a passion of mine, you know, even though I do social media. So any hairdressing salons need social media, do feel free to call me. I'll give you an excellent
service.
Telling you
guys, he knows what he's talking about.
But for example, you know, I think a common problem, I know this is something that used to be a bugbear of my wife's before she got a shorter haircut, was, you know, how to keep that salon look, you know, the lovely blow-dried look from the salon. And, you know, her salon was very smart, because they would from time to time on Facebook put up the how-to tutorials, how to blow dry like a salon at home.
Wow.
And that piqued her interest, even though she's not a big social media user.
Maybe I should go and see that.
Maybe you should. Yeah, mm. Yeah. Because certainly wearing these earphones is not going to do your hair any
good. No, it's not.
So there's a really interesting example. You know, even say if you're an accountant, is there something that you could help your audience by showing them how to maybe do a very simple, you know, look at how they could calculate their tax or something like that?
Or how to use a spreadsheet properly.
Exactly.
Says she.
As she's looking around the room.
I saw mine in Word. So, I'm afraid of Excel.
So look at those pain points, you know. And you know, can you create content that can, essentially, someone reads that post and goes away, I've learned something today.
Yeah.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, I actually totally agree with you there, because then you want to go back and say, what else can they help me with?
Exactly. Mm. Exactly.
And then there's another thing that I always say, look on the caption, please don't leave a long link.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about a chain here. I'm talking about, do you ever see in posts this long URL?
Yeah.
And although you have pasted it already in, you copied it from maybe an article or a video, say, and you paste it in, the link fetches through the image or the video. People leave it there. What you should do is delete that, because it's already fetched through and it looks cleaner.
Yeah.
Because it distracts you, I think.
It does. Yeah, I'd agree. Like, and obviously you can use services like Bitly to shorten your links.
Yeah.
Now, there's a couple of interesting things just to be mindful of, because a lot of the Facebook known kind of, I suppose, gurus or social media kind of experts in relation to Facebook are sort of saying that Facebook is potentially penalizing you for having links in your posts.
Mm-hmm.
So what certainly I'm trying to test is either putting your link, your Bitly link, as the first comment in the Facebook comments.
Yeah.
Or testing, as you were saying, Emer, where you maybe post the page link into the post, delete it, so it brings up like that clickable featured image.
Yeah. But if you have your own image, you don't have that. Your image, you know, you've gone in and you've added your own photograph of... I'm going to take a photograph of your lovely hairstyle now and prove that you do know what you're talking about when it comes to hair and hairdressing. And then you would then say to yourself, okay, if I'm going to put a link in the caption, put it somewhere that's not so, you know, in the middle, you know, when you're writing, have it like a natural conversation. You're talking about something and then direct people to that link.
Exactly.
So it's not flow. Don't put the link straight at the top.
No.
You know, right. And then write, because I think that's quite strange looking, you know?
Yeah, I think it's to try and make your post look like the way it should look, you know, easy to read. Now, something to definitely be very mindful of is something that myself and Emer would always stress to clients, is that you obviously want to ensure that with, say, any Facebook post you do, that you can track it. And a very easy thing to do is to create what are known as UTM links. Bit of a mouthful, but but if you went to the Google campaign URL builder, what you can essentially do is create a unique tracking link that essentially you can then see, did that Facebook post bring someone back to your website?
Yes.
Because I think it's very key, especially in the whole area of social media and measurable social media, you want to ensure that if you have a post that you're going out that has a specific, I suppose, objective or goal, as we mentioned previously, to get someone back to a landing page on your website, you want to be able to see that it is that post.
Yes. And then the other thing that people keep asking me about, to hashtag or not to hashtag. So, Philip, for example, I would say to people, have a business type hashtag, a certain occasion or event hashtag, or your brand and your branded hashtag. And then test it without a hashtag and see which works. So like, for example, with your business, you'd have maybe hashtag social media tips, maybe.
Yeah, I've got hashtag curly marketer tip.
And then if you have an event, it'd be like something like, you know, hashtag Christmas.
Yeah,
if you
exactly.
Keep it relevant to your post is what I'm trying to say.
Absolutely.
And then, of course, your tone of voice, we were talking about earlier a little bit, and that comes down to those little guys called the emojis.
Yeah.
And I even went off and watched the Emoji Movie just to make sure I had my research done.
Perfect.
You know, how good am I?
Yep.
And they actually give you a tone of voice. So say it's a serious post, you should have a serious face, because when you're talking to somebody face to face, you can gauge what they're saying and gauge whether it's fun or not fun. And with emojis, they help.
Absolutely. And then I suppose kind of the final thing really is, we would always say, use great images or video or live video on your posts. And maybe test longer posts, almost like a mini blog, but definitely using great relevant images and video natively, where you upload it directly to Facebook, not linking to maybe YouTube, I think is really, really powerful. And definitely up to maybe 2 minutes of a video, I feel gives the most impact. And test using captions on your video using a service like Revs.com. So I think, Emer, we've kind of gone through some kind of key elements there to craft a nice post for Facebook.
Yeah, and I can't wait to see your photograph in the on your page, your Facebook page, with your, you know, you've got the hairdryer out and all the rest, so you're looking good on your Facebook post that looks good. And you're relevant to your business because it's the Curly Marketer.
Absolutely.
And don't forget, Philip, keep that relevant post, especially anything that you want to pin.
Absolutely. Very important to have that most relevant post for your business pinned to your profile. So until next time, I'm Philip Twyford, the Curly Marketer, Social Media Manager and Strategy.
And I'm Emer Duffy of Fit Social Media, your social media personal trainer. Thanks for listening.
And we'll see you again next time.